just sitting here in the office on this Tuesday morning, went to the college website and discovered that I have a full schedule, a full working schedule this semester. So since I go back to work on Monday, I had better start putting the syllabi together and doing all of that. Just pray for me and my family. My immediate family need a lot of prayer right now. I won't go into the details. Seeking some prayer for my family, my immediate family. Hope that you're doing well. Would like to share with you my thoughts as I work here in the office and my schedule just tripled. Just tripled. And that's good because I need something to keep me active. I want to exercise and stay healthy this semester and stay ahead of everything. You know, thinking right about God. You know, I've been thinking about that because a lot of times we have these ideas that when trials and perplexity comes in your life, that God must be trying to punish you or show you something. But, well, I'm telling you, don't misread what the Lord is doing in your life. I was having lunch with my daughter yesterday, and I was telling her about a venture that someone was speaking to me about, and my daughter told me, "Daddy, you're an old man. You can't do that anymore." And I thought about that, and it bothered me a little bit because I like to see myself as an active individual, an individual that is not going to be encumbered by delay in any way. But she had a point. I can only do so much. But we were having a conversation, and she told me last night, my youngest daughter, she told me, "Daddy, keep your head up. Know that God is with us. He's been with us as a family for a long time. And it's not money that satisfies me, but satisfaction of what I'm doing for the expansion of the kingdom and to help other people in this life. That's what PJ is all about." My daughters both know that. I pray for my oldest daughter. She's a little under the weather right now, in a kind of a serious mode. I'm prayerful about it. I'm not anxious about it, but I'm prayerful about it and hope that the Lord has in his bidding a rich and long and satisfying life for my children, as well as myself, as I continue to do his bidding. It's going to be a very full semester. I'm looking at my schedule for all three classes, and I'm telling you now, one class, I got 40 students, another class, 50, and the other class, 45. I'm not taking any add-ons at all. I'm not sending in any add-ons at all. And I'm looking forward to teaching ethics, a class that I love. Philosophy 1, Intro to Philosophy, and of course, World Religions, which I love. I love teaching in all three of these classes, and I'm looking forward. I got to get my films together, my DVDs that I'm going to show, and make sure that the smart classrooms are set up for teaching. And I'm just going to enjoy my time in the college this semester. Gives me an opportunity to also pay off my taxes. Thank God, because I owe so much money on taxes, back taxes. And I want to take care of that. But I'm grateful to God for all of you guys, for your prayers for me during the summer. And you know, I kind of hope, wait a minute, let me turn this radio off here. I kind of hope you guys understand my ramblings and my babblings on about how I'm taking love into the streets. I had a great call from Pastor Reamer, Steve Reamer, yesterday, and we were having this conversation. Zerix is, if you recall, Kusha Theory, the rap guy. When I was on the radio years ago, was Zerix and I, we still hang out. He comes by often and we talk. And he was sharing that he was somewhere near his home, and it was some Hispanic Christian rappers out there. And Zerix says that it took him back to originally what God had called him to do. Zerix and I had this conversation, and it went a little bit like this. Whatever God has called you initially to do, he has never changed his mind from what he's called you to do, as he has never changed his mind as to what he's called me to do. I am aware of that. What he's called me to objectively fortify and to get done, I have to do that. I have to get that work done. I can't just stop doing that work because of something else that's gotten in the way. I was thinking, I was in my car and I was coming from, I went out to breakfast. I want to thank somebody that helped me go to breakfast for the next couple of weeks, because it's really been, well, you know who you are. Thank you. I went to breakfast, had the serving spoon this morning, had hotcakes, little turkey sausage, scrambled eggs, cup of coffee, and it was nice because, you know, cupboard's kind of bare. It's been a long stretch of a summer, and I just appreciate that breakfast. And I was coming back in, and I was thinking, and I said, oh my gosh, I miss people so badly. And I was talking to God, and I was saying, I would just love to just talk with somebody and just interact. I mean, I guess it's the pastor in me. You know, I want to do that. I don't care, male, female, whatever. Just help them, encourage them in some kind of way that it's going to be all right. Maybe I'm so matter-of-factly about God. I know that God wants me to be that way, and I want to be that way. Here it is. This is what I wanted to say. I don't have an issue with God making it so plain to me. It doesn't shock me. It doesn't set me back somewhat. I'm not taken back by that, by how God interacts and enables me to appreciate him in that way. I'm not taken back by that. I love what God is doing in my life. I want to start reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, Paul says, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery. That's what I'm talking about, Paul. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some superficial, some halfish kind of disposition about God. Understanding that results in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. With my daughter being a lot under the weather, and it could be serious, she's in God's hands. I can't do anything about that. I can say, God, go be with her there in Chicago, where she is. Have her not worry. She didn't even want to let me know that she was down like that. But My other daughter had to take me to dinner last night and run it down to me at the dinner table. And I said, I'm cool, but I'm a dad. And it's my disposition now about everything. God knows what he's doing. I have a full understanding of God. I don't want to get emotional about this when I talk to you, the listeners, to my website, because you come faithfully all the time. I see the hits on my particular website, and that blesses my heart. But I want to share something with you. You're listening to the voice of a man that is serious. And yes, yes, I am seriously fighting the good fight of faith just the way that I hope most of you are. Yes, yes, I have difficulties. Yes. I'm 68 and I still have to go to work. Yes, I'm not complaining. I pray that God gives me the strength to continue to do that, that I take care of myself, that I eat healthily, that I exercise, take care of myself, that I love people genuinely. But when I make a decision to do something that is better for me now, because it's about me, I'm an old dude now. I'm an old dude. I can't think necessarily about what's best for other people, as I have to think of what's best for me. I got to keep my car running. I got to go to work 3 days a week like regular people, which I'm thankful to God for. I'm doing this webcast because I have to do the webcast before I do anything. I don't do anything in my office until I first get God's work out of the way, and then I start doing the secular work. But I want you guys to understand that I'm okay. I'm going to go into that. But I love this verse that I just read. And let me talk about that. Paul's stated purpose was that these Christians in Colossae would be encouraged in their hearts, and not only encouraged in their hearts, and that's what I want you to be. He also wanted them to be cohesive or united in what? Not in financial prosperity, not in their season taking territory and all that, but united in loving one another. Confidence, strength, conviction, as well as cohesive unity. One writer says, yields a full understanding of the truth. And that's why we don't have that full understanding of the truth in the church today, because there is no confidence in each other, no conviction in God, and no cohesiveness of faith. I didn't see that in the church. I didn't see it. It's a kind of like there was something else that people are going there for. I don't know what it is, but I want this. And whenever one ministers in this way, there is no disregarding the other person. Do you understand what I'm saying? If this confidence and strength and conviction, as well as cohesiveness, yields to the full understanding of the truth, it is no wonder that the church has practically no understanding of the truth that she claims that she is supposed to be following. Do you follow along with me? No, that's not very philosophical. Let me put it to you this way. You have a lack of confidence in what God is doing in your life? I don't. I know exactly what he's doing in my life. Now, strength, I got up this morning and I said, thank you, Lord, for strengthening me. I have a conviction not only from the confidence and through that strength, but a conviction that God will bless my efforts. And I want to have a cohesive unity about me that will yield me a fuller understanding. Did you hear the webcast from yesterday? I think it was called Love in Action on a Sunday afternoon. You need to listen to that one. Didn't go to church. Didn't go to a worship service. Went and spent time with a young man in my community. Spent 4 or 5 hours with him. Driving around the city, looking at the sights, talking. That's what God wants me to do. There can be no full knowledge apart from a moral commitment. There can't be. And see, my moral commitment to God is based upon what I know about God and me. Well, for the years, you know, when you go to my YouTube, or you can tell them in South Central, you hear that helicopter flying around just like in the movies, right? Only in South Central. You know that if I don't have a moral commitment, there cannot be complete understanding or insight, if you will. And this insight, therefore, results in complete yielding. And that is a true evident token of how you can know that you're truly doing these things and that you're yielded to God. And trust me, not, and I put emphasis upon not, not yielded to man, men and their ideas. Never yield yourselves to the ideas of men before you have bent the knee to the will of God. That's, oh my goodness. And these aren't sparks. I'm not reading this from a book. This is coming directly from PJ's heart to you. When you come to my website, this isn't me reading books coming up with these ideas. This is a culmination of me walking with Christ since 1967, people. Some of you weren't even born. I've been walking with the Lord that long. I need you to listen to me. I'm alive and I'm well. And I want to love people. Just love them. I'm going back to the people that I've had misunderstandings with and things like that. And I'm saying, you know what? I love you. I have always loved you. And I'm not ashamed to say that I love you. I want that. That is what God has built in us, his children, first and fundamentally. And if some of you are having difficulty with this issue, that is why you're having difficulty with biblical Christianity. You can't be a part of biblical Christianity and not love like this. And let me give you an illustration of the wrong kind of love. A lot of you love Allyson Felix because she won the gold in the 200. And you know that her father is Paul Felix of the Master Seminary. You need to love her all right and love her father, but you need to love the other runners that whose daddy is working in a rice field somewhere. The other runners who didn't even place in the games. You see what I'm talking about? We have a star mentality. Oh, look at Allyson. She's this. She's that. That may be so, but do you you love the brothers in the hood walking the street that ain't got nowhere to stay? Don't get me going. I'm fed up with the church. I'm fed up with them. They do me like that. They pick their heroes. Now I want to read verse 3. Let me keep on going of Colossians chapter 2. It says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, this mystery is found in Christ. Christ is a true mystery of God revealing to man these things. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is an apprehension of that truth. See, I'm getting back into that classroom, Lord willing, on next Monday. Going to be in there throwing around some philosophy, you know, tossing it around, having a good time with it. Lord willing. You notice I said Lord willing because he can kill me tonight. And they'll have to give those classes to somebody else. All of the ventures that I'm working towards to make it plausible for me to make a living and to keep a roof over my head, that may all crash and don't go through. But that's all right, too. God is still good. God is still just. Pastor John has never changed. He's always lived on the level of the lonely. I found that he was with me when I was 7 and 8 years old. That is the Lord. I felt his presence around me when I looked in the face of my mommy and my daddy. Found that he was with me when I played with my brothers and sisters in the front and the backyard. I remember it vividly, those very bright summer afternoons. I found him with me the first day of junior high when I walked to school with my mom. I was afraid to walk with the other children because I was always kind of a shy little boy. And she would walk with me and hold my hand when I went to junior high. I was like that. I found he was with me. All the fears of six classes as opposed to one. I remember those moments. I found he was with me in high school when I had no friends. Nerd extraordinaire. I wanted to join the debating class because I loved to talk, but I would never talk in front of people. Ashamed that they may see me for who I really was. Oh, don't think PJ is so great. He's not. He's human, just like you. I found that he is with me today. And all that I do and say. And every time I put a webcast up, I know that it may be my last. And I must tell the truth. I must tell the truth. I love you, folks. I love you. I will always love people. I'm a pastor. You know what? I'm a believer. And when you're truly a believer in Jehovah, I don't care what anybody says, you love. I just learned recently that a friend of mine, possibly was hastened in death because of a situation that he was battling and he could not stand it and he had no control over it. And I was told just this weekend that it was one of the factors that eventually took him out. And I used to tell this friend of mine when I conversed with him before he died, you need to love. Because I told him the hatred that you have will eat away at you. And I just learned that it did. People, get rid of that. Stop listening to people that are going to keep you frustrated. Frustrated and all those things. You want it to result in the true wisdom and knowledge in the application of life. Knowledge is prudent judgment and wisdom is prudent action. That makes sense. Both are found in Christ Jesus. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Oh my goodness, I have preached that, and sometimes when I preach it, even to my family, to my children, they say, I know, Daddy. And I said, no, you haven't heard me. I was talking with Leslie last night and I said, you know, I said, I've come through a lot of changes and acknowledgments in my life and everything. But I told her, I said, I would never acknowledge a fact that would bring harm or disability to anyone else, because I cannot find it in my fiber to do that. I said, it is best for me to leave them right where they are, and for me to relish in where God has placed me. And I think that's the way I'm going to do my life. I'm not going to do it like a lot of people that want to brag and boast and shout. If I would say or do anything, I would say to my Creator, thank you for creating me. You did not make a mistake in me at all. This love thing that you put in me, Father, is a beautiful attribute of you. I would pray that I would continuously have it for every moment of my existence, and that it would come into play with every person that I would come in contact with. And then, Father, as I read your blessed book, the Holy Scriptures, the Word, and I come in contact with something new and fresh and vital for my soul and for my spirit, let me adopt that to my ways, to the way I speak to my students this next semester when I walk in the classroom. Let me look at each of them with the love of Christ, helping the babies so that they may know what true ethics is, what a true introduction of life is all about. And as we compare world religions, to see that everyone is seeking for God. Everyone is seeking for completion. Everyone. And then I would ask him that I would not be biased this semester, as so many of those in my profession do, because you're dealing with young kids trying to open their brains up to knowledge. Lastly, I would ask him to keep me strong and healthy so that I could do it all right. So that I could do it all right. Yeah. The knowledge and the wisdom. See, that doesn't come easy. Now, that's the way I pray. I don't know how you all pray. I don't know how you all go to God. That's the way I pray. I don't need nobody in no prayer circle with me. I don't need nobody amening me, patting me all on the back, and all that kind of stuff. And I want to talk with you young brothers out there, all right? I'm going to tell you like I told a young man on Sunday afternoon. I said, discover who you are, man. Discover who you are and walk upright, walk proud. He was ashamed. He was in a place with me and he was ashamed. And people was looking at him and he dropped his eyes. And I told him, no, young brother, you with me. Walk upright. You don't have to walk like that. Life just does that to people sometimes. Walk with your head up. Keep your head up. Okay, I got to go to work. I think I've said enough. That's my 30-minute webcast, 29 minutes and 5 seconds. Thank you for coming to my website again. Thank you for taking time to take the time out to listen to Pastor John just ramble on. I'm getting ready to go back to work. I'm grateful to God. The house is quiet. I'm all alone. It's a perfect time to do it. I'm going to take my blood pressure now. Seems to be okay. And I'm going to go at it. Love somebody today. Love somebody today. Wait a minute. Before I end, let me see. I was in the restaurant. They was all serving me. Sir, do you want some more coffee? Can I get you anything else? Is everything? You know what I felt like saying? I felt like shouting out to the top of my voice. I love every one of you people in this restaurant. Do you hear me? I love each and every one of you. I'm not crazy. I just thought that I would like to acknowledge it today, that I love you, my brothers and my sisters, and you keep on keeping on. I love you. That's what I felt like saying out loud. Why didn't I say it? Why didn't I just say it? You know why I didn't say it? Because I was concerned about what they would think about me, that they look at me. They say, what he going through? I said it because it needed to be said. I love you, man. Don't know nothing about you. Man, that would be a good thing to start. Just go somewhere and tell everybody that. But wait a minute. Don't try to do what Pastor John said do. If you not, I'm sorry, I got to read it again. If you don't have the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Don't say that unless you have that, because it won't come out right. You will feel guilty. I just didn't say it because I was thinking too much about what the response would be, because there were male waiters there and I didn't want them to read the response that I want you in my arms and stuff. See what I mean? That's why I didn't say it. But that's what I wanted to say. And that's the kind of a dude whose website you come into to listen to me flibber flabber on and on. God bless you. You know the drill. Stand to the word.